WTAW's entry for election coverage has several components. First, a sampling of two nights of candidates' forums involving 10 contested races. First, the candidate forum moderator, WTAW Scott DeLucia, asked a county commission candidate who is critical of the county's budget reserve fund.
There has to be a reserve.
There is a reserve. There's a $90 million reserve.
But there, you're talking zero tax. That reserve will be used up over time. You don't want to be in a situation where the county has no reserve.
That won't happen, because every time that they overestimated their budget, they had a surplus at the end of that fiscal year. And they took that surplus and they put it in their reserves. So if they keep doing like they have, even the year that they had no new revenue, they had a $21 million surplus at the end of that fiscal year.
I don't think I heard you say what a fair reserve would be right now.
Well, it's $90 million right now.
Well,
let me tell you.
All right, say a year from now. Let's say a year, if you're elected, a year on the court, what should that reserve look like when they set the next budget?
I think it should be $50 million.
The second sample is Scott DeLucia asking a city council candidate about funding the local public transit system.
City of Bryan is going to pay Brazos Transit District $335,000 because this is going to become an urban system rather than what it was before. Are you in favor of that? And then I think we have electric trolleys that they say could cost $120,000 each a year. Your feelings?
I do believe that is a good thing going forward. I think Bryan and Cod Station have grown tremendously, and I think people without cars definitely need a way to get around, and I'm definitely in favor of that.
All right. Having said that, what kind of expectations or conditions would you want to put on Brazos Transit Authority, since now you're helping to directly fund it?
Mainly going forward, I'd like to see them continue what they're doing, definitely looking at going forward and kind of continuing the same routes as what they're doing right now. Opening up a few more routes would be good as well.
Well, the buses are running empty now. How can these routes be good?
I'm sorry?
I say the buses are basically running empty right now, so how are these good routes?
I think the city should work with the transit district to look at what stops would be able to fill the buses up more and where the people need rides at.
A third sample is Scott DeLucia trying to get another city council candidate to answer a question.
Mr. Rockwell, my question had to do with the redevelopment of certain areas of Bryan. Yeah. I will give you another opportunity to give us a short answer on that. Or if you want to stay with the answer you've given me, but you haven't answered
okay.
The question.
The last 10 seconds is if we drill up and we get gold from space, $2,000 a month will go into every Texan's pocket.
All right, thanks. You are not answering the question that I am presenting to you. If you have information you want to give people, you may do it in another format, but this is not the format for that tonight, with all due respect.
When people have more money, they spend more, so then the businesses have more to sell them, and so the businesses grow because the populace has more money. That's simple economics, I think.
Sir, my question was, what will the city of Bryan do to the areas that need to be improved? I haven't heard you say that tonight. I will give you one more opportunity because I want to give you a chance in this forum to speak to this audience, to the questions that I am asking you.
Less government oversight, easier on the permits. The permitting structure in Bryan College Station in Bryan is very intrusive. And you have people that go to work for the tax agency that used to work for the construction, and they said they couldn't make a living because the Bryan tax permit people were always setting them back on their schedules. So less government is always better.
Next is one of WTAW's stories before the November joint election from people who are critical of the local elections office. Several Brazos County residents continue to tell county commissioners their issues with the elections office. Yesterday's remarks from Cindy Wiley focused on clearing names from voter registration records.
According to the database that we're working with, there are over 7,000 that have a change of address that have not been removed off of our voter registration rolls.
Elections Administrator Trudy Hancock told WTAW News that Texas is one of the most stringent states when it comes to removing names.
We want to be really careful about who we remove from the roll, just to make sure that we don't inadvertently keep someone from being able to cast a vote.
Wiley also told commissioners that she found registration records of 54 people who were born on the same day in 1901. Hancock says when those voters first registered, they were not required to give their date of birth.
Your office is aware the people that are over 100 that this report cited, they're still alive and still eligible to vote?
Yes, they are.
County commissioners by state law were not allowed to respond to Wiley because their comments are not part of an agenda item. Next is one of WTAW's election night result updates. WTAW election night results are in from the Brazos County Elections Office. One close contested race, that being for College Station City Council, placed 6. Scott Schaefer leading by 215 votes. The City of College Station social media points out that yet to be counted are about 450 provisional and 700 late and absentee military ballots. Place 6 winner will be one of 3 new members on the College Station Council, joining David White and Melissa McElhaney. Meantime, all 4 incumbent members of the Bryan City Council won re-election. Joining the Brazos County Commission, retired State Representative Fred Brown, who received 70% of the vote. House District 14, covering most of Brazos County, won by Paul Dyson. In District 12, which includes part of Brazos County, currently leading in that election is Trey Wharton. Find the latest numbers along with my election night interviews online at WTAW.com. Next is a sample of election night interviews with winning candidates of contested races in interviews with WTAW's Bill Oliver. First, hearing from the winner of Texas House District 12, Trey Wharton.
Let me be the first to put you in the hot seat on at least one issue. How involved are you going to get regarding the selection of the next House Speaker?
That's the first thing we do when you get sworn in. The first thing you do is vote on the House Speaker. And I know several of the people that have already said they're running for that. And so now that I've kind of through my race, I'm sure I'll start talking to the different candidates that are wanting to do that, and then we'll narrow it down from there. But I have not gotten any phone calls so far today, but it's still the morning, so I'm sure that'll happen before the afternoon's over with.
Next, comments from former Texas State Representative Fred Brown, who becomes one of 2 new members of the Brazos County Commission. You also have the unique perspective of seeing how state government affects county government, and now you're going to be on the flip side where you're going to probably do some lobbying of the legislature to protect the county's interests.
Absolutely, because the legislature was good about putting responsibilities on the counties, which caused the counties to have to spend tax dollars just because the state pushed that off on them. So hopefully we can turn some of that around.
Next is one of 3 new people elected to the College Station City Council, David White. And you'll get sworn in pretty quickly and jump right into the fray.
Well, you know what? I just learned. I learned about an hour ago that we get sworn in on November the 15th. So that's next week. So, yes, there's not much time to celebrate, but I'm glad we're able to hit the ground running, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And here's comments from one of 4 incumbent members of the Bryan City Council who are reelected, Marka Ewers-Shirtliff. How much does that have to say about the council as a group with you all being reelected?
I think we're very in tune with the local citizens. I think especially when you look at things that are going on that are beyond our control, I think people are starting to get a better grasp on city versus state versus federal and which lanes we're all in and all the work that we're trying to do.
How well the current council gets along, there may be disagreements along the way, but with all the incumbents winning re-election, that's also a statement about how effective the council is in meeting what residents want.
Yes, I'm very happy to talk about that. We vote against each other, and I think that's come to fruition more recently, but we don't always vote together, but we all respect each other, and I think that that's really special, in particular in today's political climate. We don't always agree. We don't always vote the same, but at the end of the day, we'll have a meal or go to each other's kid's birthday party or whatever. Back in the days when politics were good, right, the really good policy does not live on the far left or the far right. Somewhere in between is typically where the good stuff comes from, and that's where our council is.
And after election night results and interviews, one more news story from the November general election.
The day after, more than 70% of Brazos County voters approved two special questions that requires livestock to be fenced in. The new regulations will not be enforced. The county commission's lawyer, Bruce Arrett, learned today that state law does not allow all registered voters to participate on this issue.
In order to vote on the stock laws, a person must be a freeholder and a qualified voter. In the November 5th election, voters were not qualified as being freeholders, which landowners.
Arrett says this will require another petition drive by those wanting to fence in livestock, followed by county commissioners holding a special election.
I don't think this can be included with any other election because of the special qualifications of who's entitled to vote in it. There's no other election that has those same qualifying requirements of being a freeholder and being a registered voter in order to vote.
Arrett says the Secretary of State's office will be consulted on determining the steps to hold a valid election, which by state law has to be done in order for the county to ban livestock from roaming free. And there's a sampling of the November 2024 general election coverage from 1620 94.5 WTAW.